When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What foods are popular, most people like, and you don't like? 713-780-ESPN. Texter wanted us to talk about this. And it's a You Call It Friday, so talk about whatever you want. We'll play whatever music you want. We're just working for you. It's what we do. Texter says he hates ice cream. That's I can't get on board with that.
How can someone hate ice cream?
I probably don't eat ice cream a ton, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, like I could see it not being your first choice for dessert. That nothing wrong with that, but to actually hate it?
No way.
It's also kind of a chore, you know, if the ice cream gets a little hard and then you have to you know, either set it out or you have to warm
it. Leave it on the counter for a couple minutes, you're just fine.
Yeah. Or if you warm the I mean, sometimes you don't want to wait a couple minutes for something sweet. Or you have to, like, put the ice cream scooper in under warm water can help out pretty quickly. But I don't hate ice cream. The one for me, like, I don't crave chocolate almost ever. Like, I still think it's fine. Like, I'll still eat it. But I never crave chocolate. I know people do. And I never crave pizza. Like, I could go the rest of my life without eating pizza again. Like, I'll eat it if it's around
pizza.
And I think
it's
fine.
I'm big.
But
I could
go the rest of my life without ever having it.
I'm with you on the chocolate thing. And Lisa's a massive chocolate fan. And she always has been. And I just not chocolate. I'm not a big candy person anyway. But I'm with you. Like, it was weird today. And I was going to mention this to you guys anyway, but my daughter had a bike and trike-a-thon at school where you bring their bike or trike and they do this obstacle course or whatever, and the parents are running around. And there was a dad that was, like, enticing his kid and bribing the kid to ride his trike by showing a massive Hershey bar. And then, as you know, the parents are going with their kids to make sure they don't fall and whatever. And he's running along and, like, dangling the carrot instead.
Like,
he's dangling
the
little squares of the chocolate bar. He's like, here you go. I got another one for you. Come on. Keep going. I'm like, what are we doing? We're enticing the kid to be fat because he's going to keep living off the chocolate bar to finish the obstacle course?
I mean, we do that with potty training. We give Branham baby a piece of candy if he goes poo-poo in the toilet.
That's one thing, but going, you know, like every 25 feet on your trike or bike,
I mean,
you get a piece of chocolate. It's ridiculous.
He's got to earn the calories, Joel.
I mean, he's burning it off. How old are these kids?
Like five.
You're anti 5-year-olds having a piece of chocolate?
A piece? It was a massive bar, and by the end of the obstacle course, it was like, here's a piece for 10 yards.
How much did he ride?
Went around a couple of times, but I mean, maybe a time or two, but he hammered the whole chocolate bar.
So he had a whole chocolate bar by the time he was done?
Not a small chocolate bar, Jeremy. I'm talking one about those super-sized ones, almost like
jumbos?
Like half of the size of a piece of copy paper. Those
Why do you
big bars?
Have
like
chocolate.
A king-size bar.
Yeah, he just kept snapping off the little rectangles going, here's another one, let's go, keep pedaling. I'm like, what are we doing, man?
The image is more funny to me than, like, alarming, but...
Yeah, he's just, and again, like dangling the horse with the carrot. He just kept getting out in front of the kid, not worried if he hits the speed bump in the parking lot and falls over. But come on, keep going. Here's another piece of chocolate.
I was having images of cartoons where they would stick like the plunger on someone's head to have the carrot hanging off to where they would keep chasing. But,
I'm not a chocolate fan like that. I'm with you on that. But the pizza, I'll crave pizza. I love pizza.
I know I'm in the minority there. I have never, ever liked pecan pie or peach cobbler.
Agree with both.
I like peach cobbler. I don't have it a ton. I might have it once every other year, but I like it. I never crave it. Pecan pie depends on where you get it from, because there are some pecan pies that are awesome.
Good Company's always one that everybody goes
great,
to.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And the reason, I mean, that one's probably more goo than it is pecan. Like they have like, you know, extreme and egregious amounts of goo under the pecan, which is probably what makes it so good. But it depends on who made the pecan pie. Day two of Blankers hating kids, says a texter.
Okay. No, I hate people that are – they're false – they're using bad training purposes for their kids. I love my kids and
he's
kids.
He's only
five. I don't
five.
Know. You're hating on kids yesterday,
Jeez.
Too. We're
I mean, it's a pretty good motivator. Here. I mean, the kid's riding a bike. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Evidently, he doesn't want to ride the bike, and he has to have chocolate in front of him to ride it. That's a great precedent to set in life.
Necessary.
Here, keep eating the chocolate, kid. Don't worry about it. Just get it done.
Is he riding the bike, though?
Yeah, he was riding the bike. Was the kid heavy set?
Riding the bike.
What's that?
Was he fat? Was the kid heavy set?
I'm not commenting on any of that.
I think that was the
end. Paint the picture.
I'm not commenting on any of that. Dad, either. I'm not commenting on any of that.
So dad's also fat.
I'm not commenting on any of that.
Tell Joel to quit hating on that family's chocolate budget, says a texter.
I almost swore. I don't care how much money they spent on the chocolate. I don't want to bribe my kid with it.
Texter says, I'm not crazy about burgers. I won't say why, but he says, I'm not crazy about burgers. That's terrible. Like, cheeseburgers are my favorite thing.
I wonder if that's a gastro issue. Like, he says, I won't say why.
I think he was trying to get a cheesy joke in, and I didn't fall for it. So I just read half the sentence. The Juicy Lucy's big in Minneapolis. That's why I asked Todd about it. I've never had a Juicy Lucy. Have you had a Juicy Lucy?
I have not.
Yeah, they don't really – like, I would. Like, I'm not against it. But
that's
I really
one...
don't want anything to mess with, like, the consistency of cooking my meat. You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure that
things cooked
the whole
way through. So people that don't know, that's
through.
The one where they cook the burger with the cheese inside of it?
Yes.
Yeah,
sounds
in the middle.
Delicious.
It's a stuffed hamburger patty.
It's supposed to be it's a Minnesota thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it sounds
delicious. It does look good. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. But, like, I would never cook it that way because I'd be a little worried that it would mess with the consistency of the cook. You know what I mean?
I understand that.
So, like, that's the reason that I've, like, never done it. Texture says popcorn is overrated. Nah.
Love popcorn. Brian and I are on the same page on this.
I love
popcorn.
I love popcorn, too. Why can't I be included in the combination?
Because Brian and I have had this conversation before. I forget. Oh, when we were at the Space –
Was oh,
it,
yeah,
was it
Space
Cowboys,
Cowboys
when they
yeah,
were making the
Space
fresh
Cowboys,
popcorn that
yeah.
created a conversation
about. It was driving
about,
us crazy because we could smell it down the hallway.
All right, well, cool. Y'all can go have popcorn together. And
yeah,
don't
you're
mind
not
that I
to
also
the popcorn
like it.
Club, Jeremy.
Texter, I'm with Joel. I'm not a crawdad guy. I love crawfish.
Oh, that's right. You don't like crawfish.
So my list would be, as you guys know, I can't stand carrot cake, and I think it's a waste of a dessert. I'm not. I cannot stand sushi.
Oh, man.
I'm with you there. I'm with
what?
I just don't. I can't eat it.
You do. You
and
do.
The thought of like
the taste
eating the
of
raw fish and everything else, but
I don't like raw fish.
It's not all raw. It's not all.
I know. I've tried some of the cooked types.
Yeah, I don't
but it was just like yeah, I'd rather have a. I know this is not helping my case as far as having the taste buds of a child.
You rather have some chocolate after riding a bicycle?
No. No,
it goes back to
say,
the old airplane.
I was going to say I'd rather have the fish fried is what I was going to say, which doesn't help the case of my taste buds being that of a child.
See, I don't but I prefer my food not fried. I think it tastes better, especially seafood. Like,
depends
give me a good
the,
blackened
depends.
Shrimp or fish versus a fried shrimp or fish, because I like the flavor of the shrimp and fish. And the moment you fry it, I think it takes away from the flavor.
I'd
rather have it blackened.
I grew up on the fried shrimp.
Yeah.
The fried chicken.
Fried shrimp is fantastic.
I'd rather have shrimp fried than not.
Yes.
And I think most fish I'd actually probably would rather, now that I'm thinking about it, have, you know, grilled or whatever. The one exception would be catfish. I
can't stand catfish.
See, well, I like catfish, but I would only eat it fried. No.
You wouldn't eat blackened?
So my list was blackened
oh,
is blackened, really good.
No,
really
okay,
good.
Two ways then. I like blackened. I like it, more of a Cajun style. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I like blackened fish a lot. Huge fan of blackened fish.
So mine are crawfish, calamari. Sushi,
oh, I like calamari
carrot
too.
Cake.
There's a lot of seafood. I love calamari.
I'm not a big fan. Fried calamari is what everybody.
Done poorly, though.
It's okay, but I'm just not a fan.
If you get it made poorly and it's rubbery, then I'm with you. But if it's done well, I like it.
I prefer my calamari to Italian restaurants, not seafood restaurants, because it usually comes with marinara. And I prefer my calamari with marinara than whatever the seafood place is giving you.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So I was doing my daily prep, you know, the thousands and thousands of websites that I look at each and every day, and the hours and hours of work that I put into this. And Houston Chronicle. I have a subscription to Houston Chronicle because I think it's kind of important for what we do. And I'm sitting there looking at, you know, Astro stories and Cougar stories. Duarte does a good job with the Cougars covering their beat. And, you know, I'm looking at stuff. And then on this right side of the Houston Chronicle, they have, like, the top stories of the day, most popular stories of the day. And the number one most popular story of the day, while I was, you know, looking and prepping at 3:30 this morning whenever I saw this, it says that coyotes are out along Buffalo Bayou and other parts of Houston, and that it is coyote season in Houston. Blankers, I lived in Houston. I'm almost 40. I've been in Houston for 39 years of my life, going on 40 here. I never knew we had a coyote season. Have I missed this? Is this something that is normal?
I was going to ask you guys on your side of town.
Is it
a thing? It depends on where you live.
Because I was going to say, I don't know on the north side. I know that in Sugar Land and in that area, there's a lot of, like, hawks. There's a lot of the wild
pigs.
The pigs.
Yeah.
There's a name for them.
Feral hogs.
Feral hogs.
Yeah.
And then recently on our Facebook pages, people had thought that they had seen some coyotes and they had some pictures, and they weren't huskies. They actually, a couple of them actually looked like coyotes, and I was kind of like, wow, that's a real rarity to find coyotes in Sugar Land, in the Sugar Land area, but I don't know.
They're there. Like, there was a story, I want to say it was about a decade ago, because he was still governor at the time, but remember when Rick Perry shot one? He was out walking his dog. I think he was around Memorial Park, but he shot one.
Rick Perry lived in Houston.
I don't know if he lived in Houston or he was just visiting, but there was Yeah, he shot. He apparently was walking his dog, carrying a piece, and shot one because it came after him. But yeah, it's apparently been a thing a good 10 years. Like, I never see him in Kingwood, but if you live in the right areas, they're definitely there.
Yeah, what does coyote taste like?
I'm with you. I was not aware that it was
one.
A thing. I could see, well, like, a random sighting of a coyote,
sure, right,
but I didn't
yeah.
think that it was a big deal.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
I never
knew
saw
it was
one
coyote
up
season
park,
in Houston.
But...
Yeah,
never
no.
heard that.
I know it's football time in Houston, but
exactly.
Thank you, Clay.
And well. The Texans are ready to play. Not
that's
ready
right.
to win. They're ready to play.
Yeah.
B. Hannon said that there was a cougar running around the Kingwood Greenbelts. Go Cougs, baby! Hope they're running wild in San Antonio tomorrow.
We got a lot of gators
that's
in Sugar
alarming.
Land.
My neighborhood is right on the Kingwood Greenbelt.
Yeah, they had a problem with a lot of gators in Sugar Land.
Gators make sense. Cougars do not, especially in Kingwood. Somebody said, B. Hannon said that it was an issue in Katy as well. Katy had a problem with them. We had some feral hogs in our neighborhood, like, over the winter.
Have you seen how they
hunt
feral hogs?
I don't know. At night, right?
Traps,
well, they hunt them from a helicopter a lot of times.
Well, that's like game hunting. That's like if you're a hunter. They don't do that in neighborhoods, Brian.
Sure, sure. Not the average person. But there's like
those things.
That's a whole thing.
Those things do some serious damage to, like, grass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Because they eat, like, bugs and worms that are in the grass. So they're like, they're getting into it to try to find that stuff.
Yeah,
digging
they
it
rip
up
the
to get into
hell
it.
Out of the grass.
Sean
they
from the highway.
They do numbers.
Yeah, Sean from the highway to hell had one go through his yard in Pearland a few years ago, just destroyed it.
Huh.
Yeah. I knew somebody who got into a terrible accident hunting feral hogs from a helicopter. They fell out of a helicopter. Like,
how high was it?
I mean, it's not anything to laugh at, Brian. He almost lost his life. I think his legs got amputated, too.
Okay.
It was a former quarterback in Houston. I forget his name. I forget the name off the top of my head.
Kevin Cobb.
No. Brian, you're making light of this. Kind of irritating me a little bit. You're joking about a guy almost losing his life and losing limbs.
David Klingler.
No. It was
I'm just going by ex-quarterbacks in Houston. Brian, by the way, is still laughing.
You would know who it was if it was a notable name.
Oh, okay.
It was it was
Brooks Bosler.
I want to say it was Kosh. I think it might have been Kosh. Anyways, let's move on. 713 Brian's ticking me off. 713-780 ESP and HRMP listener line. How many at bats before we truly assess Cam Smith? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5.
Man, what a hell of a year it's been.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch Dayton. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard this song. This is the Shaboozy Good News.
Yep.
You've heard this?
Oh, man. We sang it in the car.
Now, don't try to drop the accent.
My daughter does it.
Oh, does she?
My daughter does the accent. I need some good news.
Yeah, this was the other one he sang on SNL.
Brian. You're not allowed to talk the rest of the show. You're laughing at a dude who had his legs amputated.
You should have heard him in the break.
Us talking privileges.
I mean, Sean's throwing out realistic topics of people in peril, and he's just cackling.
Fine by me.
Mute his microphone. That's enough. No, I've never heard that song by Shaboozy. It wasn't bad, though. It does sound very similar. It's a little slower. But, like, the beat kind of sounds the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a very distinct sound for him. And, yes, some of the songs do sound similar.
It is a You Call It Friday. Whatever songs you want us to bump back with, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Texas says anything with avocado is disgusting. You just lost your text privileges for the last 40 minutes of the week. You can text us again Monday. How do you not like avocado? Avocado is delicious. You can put it in sushi. You can make guacamole with it. I mean, I eat it a lot of times by itself for breakfast with a little bit of sea salt.
I've said previously, I was never an avocado fan or a guacamole fan, and I didn't like the texture, the appearance, or anything. And then being married to Lisa and her mom's frequent visits, I have grown to like guacamole and avocado.
Yeah, I love me some avocado. It's so good. I live in the Baytown area.
Would you put that on like sandwich, like a turkey sandwich or something?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, put it in that. Put it inside of tacos. Yeah, I mean, there's no bounds for avocado. Avocado is superfood, too. Like, it's really good for the brain.
That is true, yep.
Brandon, when Brandon baby was very, very little, and, like, he was just eating, you know, starting to eat not even solid food, like baby food. We never gave him baby food. We would, like, squish up stuff. But we would squish up the avocado and, you know, take to that like a fish to water because it's in his blood. Seen coyotes running at Memorial at 3 a.m. That's kind of scary. Also, sick brag that you're up and running at 3 a.m. That's pretty early to be out there running.
We were talking
about
this after Brian was focusing on all the different shortcomings people had that he could laugh at.
That wasn't very good. That was a mean pun, too.
What?
He's short now because he doesn't have legs.
Oh. Jeez, and Brian's laughing at that, too. I was unaware of, and Sean backed it up during the break as well, that this is such a prevalent thing in the downtown Bayou area. I'm like, the last place I would expect it is to be around Buffalo Bayou. I would think, like, when you start getting out in the sticks in certain of the surrounding areas around outside of Houston, but I'm not thinking downtown and by the Bayou.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like, the suburbs, I can, like, that makes more sense, right? But, like, inside the loop is crazy. Blaine says those coyotes come in to eat all the feral cats. Maybe it's not so bad we have those coyotes.
Yeah. I mean, because I think when you start thinking about it, too, I guess that you got to you got to protect your animals, too, right? If you're walking your dogs or whatever, you don't want to run into a pack of coyotes because I'm sure they're just going after whatever the hell they feel like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm not reading that one. Someone said in avocado and tortilla soup goes hard. That's a good call. It's a really good pairing.
Ooh.
Have you ever had like that avocado bean dip? That's really good too.
Avocado bean dip's good. I just can't. Avocado in warm soup?
Yeah, absolutely. You put it in right there at the end. You don't cook with it. You just put it in there at the end. It's like a topping.
I don't think I could do that. That doesn't sound great. Sorry,
Your go-to? Yeah, you would like it, I think. What's your go-to Mexican drink? Margarita with tajine or micheladas?
Margarita over micheladas. And
I don't like the tajine, though. Just give me margarita with salt.
Either. Salt, yeah. Yep, good.
Big E's calling me. Should I answer this on the air? No, I'm not going to do that to him. I seen a coyote today in Galena Park. Okay, I'm not reading that text. That's very mean. That's a mean text. Not reading that. Okay. All right, let's get to the Cam Smith conversation. 713-780-ESPN. How many at-bats before we truly assess Cam Smith? Todd Callis mentioned earlier, like, you know, with a veteran, give him 100 at-bats before we start talking about the season he had. Said a little shorter with a rookie because they have options and, like, their leash isn't as long at the big league level. Said 60 to 75 at-bats for a rookie. Cam Smith right now, I mean, still very, very early, obviously. We're not rushing to conclusions at all, even about his rookie season. We're not rushing to conclusions. But he's had 17 plate appearances. He's had 14 at-bats. So he's still roughly, you know, 60 plate appearances away from assessing judgment according to TK's barometer. We might have different barometers. But in those 17 plate appearances, 14 at-bats, he's hitting 143 with a .294 on-base percentage and a .437 OPS. Obviously, those numbers, if you, you know, put them out on a bigger sample size, would not be good enough. Five games for him that he's played in over seven that the Astros have played in. We're not drawing conclusions, jumping to any conclusions, any of that. But those numbers would not be good if you were to extend it to a bigger body of work. How many plate appearances for you before you're drawing an assessment on Cam?
I think just going back to, you know, how much Bregman struggled early in his when he debuted, that I'm not gonna jump to conclusions too soon. I like TK's number. The barometer should be the benchmark should be at around 100 at bats, maybe even more than that, just to kind of allow him to settle in, because we're factoring in just the at bats, but then his age and his maturity level and dealing with everything that goes with, you know, the first time being in the major leagues at essentially a teenage years instead of being like, you know, some of the other guys when they get called up for the first time. I think it's at least 100 at bats in my opinion.
For me, my number is 100 too. It's 100 for me. All right, what is the number for you, and how many at-bats before you're making a decision or drawing conclusions or forming an opinion, not on Cam Smith's career. We're talking specifically his rookie year. Because, look, if he is hit, and look, we're not saying this is going to happen. Have to be careful or Lance will jump my you-know-what. If Cam Smith's hitting 143 after, you know, we just put the number at 100 at-bats, you're probably sending him down. Like, he's probably going to the minors. If after 100 at bats he's hitting 143 with an OPS of .437, you're probably sending him down.
We're also
probably criticizing Dana Brown for having him open the season with the team, because it is rare for a guy who's made five starts above high A ball and had 20 plate appearances above high A ball for them to make their debut in the bigs after that short of a time in the minors and no time in double A or triple A. So if he's hitting 143 after 100 at bats, we're going to be critical of Dana Brown.
I think that's part of it, but I think the other thing, part of it too, is going to be like, who do you replace him with? Like, we at the start of the season, I was hypercritical of the fact that you might start Chaz and Jake in the outfield, you know, most games alongside Altuve, and I was wondering, like, who else were they were going to possibly have as a solution, and Gamble was the guy they brought in that they let go, and you're like, okay, I can understand it even more so if there are viable options on the major league level that are capable of replacing him. You're right.
Well, those guys that you mentioned have better averages than Cam Smith does.
You're talking about Jake and Chaz?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's right now. That's a short sample. I'm with
right,
you.
But I think
that when you get to 100 at bats, if Jake and Chaz, when they've been playing, aren't hitting the baseball, I think that it could change. It could alter when you do what you do, because of the fact that you know that there's still a huge upside for Cam Smith, and the more experience he gets now, whether he snaps out of it this year or not, you believe that this is going to be experience that helps him to kind of grow and get better down, you know, as he progresses. I do think it matters, though, of who you're replacing him with.
I guess my point is that if you're a big leaguer, you're probably going to hit better than 143 with a .437 OPS. So if you have a guy that's producing at that level, almost anything else is an upgrade.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I just think that when I'm factoring in everything that I said, I'm like, I'm giving him a little bit extra leeway than of someone else that might be a little bit further along age-wise, maturity-wise, and experience-wise. But, yeah, I mean, look, if he's hitting 143 after 100 bats, I have no qualms about sending him down. And you're probably right. Everybody involved is going to take some heat for that decision, because everybody was adamant from, you know, Espada to Dana to the players themselves talking about what this kid can do and all the confidence in the world in him. But, you know, I just hope he turns it around by then. And maybe even if it has to be like the Bregman experience where you start out super slow, but at a certain point you start feeling comfortable and things start clicking.
look, and this isn't a, oh my goodness, Cam Smith after five games is hitting 143. That's not the conversation. Because Cam Smith's numbers are actually better than Yordan's. Cam Smith has a better average than Yordan, has a better OPS than Yordan. So, like, this isn't a five games, the sky is falling, what were the Astros and Dana Brown thinking? This is how long of the leash do you give Cam Smith before we start having these conversations? How many at-bats, how many plate appearances, how many games before we can be critical of Cam Smith if he is struggling? That's what the conversation is. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting from River Ranch in Dayton on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
EU. Financial aid is available for qualified students.
Yeah. When I'm out in them wild boys, blunts and fillets. When I'm out in L.A., boys.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at River Ranch, Dayton. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, I like this You Call It Friday stuff, because there's no way Brian would pick this song as a rejoin.
50?
No chance. Yeah, it's 50. There's no chance that Brian's doing this. Fair?
No? Brian, no chance that you'd pull a 50 talk?
No, he's not allowed to talk.
Oh, that,
I'm
oh,
asking
sorry.
You.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah. He lost privileges.
I think he could. I don't think he'd prefer it, but I think that he could, and especially if it was in the anything that's
know.
In the system, he could pull.
I'm pretty sure he's never played 50. Pretty
any
sure.
Kind, huh?
I don't think so. Join us Monday at FAO Houston, located at 2303 Smith Street, to watch the biggest college basketball game of the year. Over 20 TVs, they have a rotating seasonal menu and classic cocktail specials. FAO is also a nostalgic arcade bar. ESPN Houston will be there from noon to 6 p.m. The Paul Gallant Show, the Killer Bees, broadcasting live. See you Monday at FAO. Who wrote this script? Brian, you can answer the question, but only one word. Yes, or just one name, Brian. Who wrote the script? Okay, he's going to be stubborn and not answer. I'm going to guess Joe
at me
wrote.
He's laughing again. He's laughing.
I'm going to guess
again.
Joe
must
wrote
be thinking
the script.
Of more catastrophes.
Here's a couple problems I have with this script here. They have a rotating seasonal menu and classic cocktails specials. Why is there an S after cocktails there, Blankers? They have a rotating seasonal menu and classic cocktails specials. No, classic cocktail specials. How about this one, Blankers? ESPN Houston will be there from noon to 6 PMAS. He put 6 PMAS. He put 6 space PMAS. The PM. Got to be careful saying that. PMS.
Yes, please do. This could be Joseph, could it not?
It's got to be Joe. I hope it's Joe, because I wouldn't want to ridicule anybody else. But this is what? I mean, just proofread it. Go through it one time here.
Man. What if it was Brian?
Brian doesn't write these.
Brian won't talk, but the face I got for saying that it could be Brian was not favorable.
I'm a fan of the S at the end of things, RBIs. But you can't go cocktails specials.
No, you absolutely
And then combine two words in the middle of it. Like, just 1 minute to read over this, and you would have fixed this. I'm not to go all MLA Paul here. Just a quick proofread is all it takes.
Late for that.
Just a quick proofread.
I mean, I think the bigger thing is just to proofread it for the talent on the air, because they don't have time to sometimes.
What are we going
to
do? I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm Ron Burgundy? Like, Joe's setting up the talent for failure here. My goodness, pay up a bet. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Killer Bees broadcasting live from River Ranch Date. I only care about the one.
I care about mine.
Batman says that Cam Smith came up too fast. Like, that's in play. Like, that is possible. I hope he figures it out, and we can poo-poo on that opinion later on. But it is certainly in play that Cam Smith got called up too soon. Not saying that's the case. Let's give it. You know, we both like the 100 at bat sample. I think that's the best answer. But you know, let's see what it looks like after 100 at bats. I'm just curious what other people think that runway is. Texture says Cam, go ahead.
I was going to say that the other thing about that is look, with even with the highest expectations for him in his career, I might be in the minority, but no matter what he did in spring training and what kind of pitching he faced, I expected this. I did not expect him to just be the phenom that comes out of the gates from the minute he gets to the show and is just ripping the cover off of it. I just kind of expected in my heart, in my head, saying, look, I think the kid could have a hell of a career, but it's a hell of a big ask to like not only think of anybody doing this, but doing this in a predicament like the Astros have, where he's feeling a lot of pressure, like they're relying on him to where I kind of expected him to start slow.
Look, I like to look at the range of possibility because there's always that always exists. And sometimes, like, people just surpass that. Like the Rockets, like I thought range of possibility was like playoffs, 49, 50 wins. They're gonna surpass that. Sometimes people don't like get to the floor of the range. Jose Abreu, I like that signing. He never got to the floor of what I thought his range would be as an Astro. So like even the ranges can be off, but it gives you a better chance of like it landing in that range. Cam Smith being called up too soon is in the bottom of the range. The top of the range, he comes in, he holds his own, and he's like a solid producer that hits sixth or seventh in your lineup. So, and like again, this like a texture says that he's fourth on the Astros in on-base percentage because he has had a couple of walks. His at-bats have been, you know, mostly okay. I mean, he does have six strikeouts and 14 at-bats. Like, that's almost half of his at-bats that have ended in strikeouts. But we're not going to form conclusion after 17 plate appearances. That's why, again, this conversation is more about how long is the leash? When can we have the conversation of what Cam Smith's numbers look like? Texter, oh man, I'm calling Lance now. Yeah, that's tough. Thoughts on Bregman's start? See, Bregman after his first 100 at-bats was like starting to figure it out. It was Bregman's start that was atrocious. But by 100 at-bats, he had started to level out. Like water found its level a bit with him.
Yeah, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he started one for like 20, 30, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like one for 30, I think.
Yeah,
something like
and
that.
And then you know, suddenly you could see that he was starting to kind of feel more comfortable and things, he was starting to get, you know, harder contact with the bat. But I think it's very similar. That's why I didn't have high expectations right out of the gates for Cam. But I think that it's realistic to think by the time he gets even, you know, halfway to by the time he gets about 50 at-bats, you'll have a pretty good idea about, even if he's not hitting for average per se by yet or OPS or all the different metrics that you use, you'll see if he's feeling comfortable at the plate, if he doesn't look overmatched, if he's, you know, he's staying on fastballs and he's hitting the ball hard, even if they're outs, you'll know that he's capable of figuring it out.
Yeah. Again, that is like not the conversation. Like, it's more when can we start having the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, it's very nuanced what we're talking about. I get that. But, like, I'm not going to bash Cam Smith after five games. But no, can I start bashing Cam Smith?
Yeah, I think to be fair, especially with all the other, you know, sidebars that we put into age and otherwise, I think to be fair, it starts at around at 100.
Okay, yeah. I think we've established our number. Yes, King of Twitch, yes. who's a ball knower, he says 100 as well. So Bregman started off 1 for 32. By the time Bregman, and I pulled up his first 101 at-bats because it's like I can only look at it game by game, but Bregman in his first 101 at-bats, despite starting 1 for 32, he ended up getting his average up to 238 and 687 OPS by his 100th and first at-bat. So like,
wow.
And that's factoring in the 1 for 32. So, like, what did he do from at-bats 33 to 100? He was probably hitting close to 300 with an OPS close
hot.
To, like, 800,
yeah.
850. So, like, yep. He was trending in the right way. So it might not even be total numbers. It might be more what you're talking about of, like, how is he performing? Where is he trending? Do things look good? Does the outlook look good? Some textures on this. Can we just admit no one likes Joe? That's not really about Cam Smith. I like Joe. I just like to make fun of him a little bit.
I like Joe.
Probably has the same person in his ear as Jordan to start the year. Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. 6Ks, Altuve almost did that in a game. Yeah, but Altuve's producing. Bregman is playing much better this year than last. That's because he's hitting in that boombox at Fenway Park. At least he isn't Dylan Cruz right now. Yeah, Cruz is struggling. Cam is not batting cleanup, third, fifth, or sixth, and no errors in right. He's doing good. Okay. Give him 40 games. So 40 games is quite a bit because 40 games, now you're looking at about 120 to 160 at-bats.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good amount. Here are a few more at-bats on how many before, you know, we can really assess Cam Smith. Garrett on Twitter, at least a month's worth, which is 60 to 80 if he plays in 15 to 20 of those. 250 says Apple, 250 says Nick. That's a lot, man. Like, if that he's hitting a buck 20, give him 250 at bats for a team that's supposed to be contending, that's a lot. Pablo, yeah, 200.
That's going to be a detriment to the team, period. Yeah. 250 at bats worth hitting that putrid. That now we're looking at Machete numbers. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think 250 is too much.
Teast says 300. Jared says 30. Derek 150. Carlos at least 50 to 75. Travis says 300 half the season. Steven says rookie season. Let him adjust and go through education in Major League Baseball. At least 100, 140, 100. Summertime, 30 games, two more series, 150. So that's kind of the what Astro fans are thinking here.
That's the range and the gamut, huh?
That's the range. I think we're going to go with 100.
I think 100 was pretty consistent. If you just took the average for the majority of the responses.
I think so. Yeah, I think it would be. Cam Smith should be in Corpus for 1 month, then Sugarland till midsummer, then called up after the All-Star game. David Peralta and Bid Gamel should be on this roster. Evaluate May 1st, make decision June 1st. That's not bad either. Like, if you wanted to get rid of the at-bats of it and just go, like, the calendar as your, like, kind of, you know, litmus test here, that's not a bad way of putting it. Start to evaluate a little bit closer in May and then make a decision by June 1.
I think that's a good enough sample size from just a time perspective. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Any thought? You saw Christian Campbell get this deal, right, with the Red Sox. Yes. He got an eight-year, $60 million contract extension, which if you look at the escalators of the deal, also had like two options on it. So they can buy up to – they bought two of his free agent years, and they can get all the way up to four of his free agent years. He makes $1 million this year, $2 million the year after, then three, then four, then six, then nine, then 13, then 16. Club options of $19 million and 33. And then a club option of $21 million and 34. So this buys out two free agent years, and it could potentially get two extra years, a total of four free agent years if they pick up both options. Do you consider this with Cam Smith?
Man, I just – call me crazy. I would say that I would like to wait a little bit longer before I do this. I think that I understand it when, you know, teams like the Mariners and the Rays have done this and the Brewers. But I want to see – because it's still a risk. It's still a prospect. Yes, there's high expectations. But the John Singleton thing, even the 10-year, $10 million deal backfired on the Astros once upon a time. And I would like to be a little bit more secure that the conversation we just had, regardless of how many at-bats in, the signs are there and that you are looking at a guy that you feel really confident is going to keep progressing. So at a certain point, yeah, I would be willing to have that conversation. I'm not willing to have it right now. I need to see more from him first on the big league level.
Red Sox didn't see more from Christian Campbell.
I know. And what's the Brewers guy from last year?
Oh, Churios. I forgot to say his name.
Yeah, he's Churios. Good.
He's and really they made, good. Like J-Rod signed very early, maybe even before he was called up. And there's been like Acuna was signed early. Lingoria was signed early. The Astros didn't do Altuve when he was in the minors, but he signed very early. Like, that one worked. Like, for all the grief the Astros get about Singleton, well, they did it with Altuve. Well, they did it with Yordan. Now, not that early. Not that early. Right. Did it with Bregman. So they've been, at times, they've locked up young players early. In my mind, I believe that if Dana Brown was so strong about Cam Smith needing to be on the opening day roster, and he believes his eyes and his scout on Cam Smith so much that he has to be on the big league roster after five games above high A and 20 plate appearances above high A, if he believes in Cam Smith that much, I think there's a lot of correlation between being willing to sign him to an extension like this and also calling him up for opening day. Like, if you're making the opening day decision, okay, well, why are you doing that? Well, we think he's really good, and we think he has a bright future, and we think he's going to handle it, and we think all of this stuff. Okay, well, if you think that, then why wouldn't you sign him for this kind of type of contract? They're the same type of decision. It's the same thought process.
Yeah, and whether you say he did this or he was part of an organization that did this while he was in Atlanta with multiple players, you understand that Dana has experience doing this. I just think that from me personally, you can still do this, but see as much as you saw from like Yordan before you made the decision.
It gets more expensive, though. Way more expensive. And it gets harder to do because the agent's like, well, now we have more leverage.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And the agent, for sure, is going to probably lead that charge. And it's a rarity that you get a player himself that dictates the contract and says, I want the money now. I want the security now, like Jordan did, and do what he did. But I just whether you wait, you don't have to wait that long. But I personally would like to see a little bit more before I go start thinking about that.
Yeah, I hear you.
But if you're Dana
Brown,
you're right. And look, he is a talent evaluator, and that's one of the big things that is a feather in his cap amongst people that when he was being interviewed for jobs or considered as a general manager, his talent evaluation is supposed to be very, very good. So if he believes that this is the guy and he is going to turn into that kind of player, that deal is very affordable. So
hasn't Dana already told us he thinks that, though? That's my point. Like Dana's saying all the things that you would say if you were to sign him with this contract extension through his actions by having him up on this team already.
Yeah, that and the fact that when you dig a little deeper on some of the comments that he's made, that look, they had their eye on him when he was eligible for the draft, knew he wasn't going to fall to them, but they really, really liked him. That means that he studied him pretty much from the time he was at Florida State. So then there's a lot that says that he believes in his talent. Yes, but you know, the best laid plans of a guy that analyzes a guy and evaluates a guy at a certain level, it can still backfire and fail, but it would be a very, very positive deal for the organization if it works out. That's why a lot of these smaller market teams are doing it.
I'm fine with him being more expensive if they wait. He's a super young player still and would be if they chose to give him a contract like that. Another texter is a big gamble, but if you can get him to sign now, go for it. Another texter says Corbin Carroll. Carroll got a contract before he played in the bigs, and then he's got to prove more before this even or early. I can't remember exactly when he signed it. But texter said Corbin Carroll. Another text, he's got more to prove before this even needs to become a conversation. So that's kind of what our listeners think. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, right about now, tax time. After tax time, hopefully you're getting a refund. But at the time, if you do get a refund, there's never been a better time for you to start thinking about, hey, I'd like to make some upgrades to my house that are going to be beneficial for a lot of us, our biggest investment, and that being our home. And that's where I recommend that you get in touch with Allstate Siding and Windows. Because like their name states, it's siding, it's windows, it's front doors, and so much more as it relates to improving your house, investing in that big investment in being your property. And the fact is they're the best in the business. They have over about 50 years of experience in the business, family owned and operated here in the Houston area. Their family's still involved on a day-to-day basis. Mary holds down the fort at the headquarters. Her brother goes out and does free estimates. That's where I suggest we start, because if you're thinking about anything to do with your house, you need to contact Allstate, because it's free to get their opinion, and then you can go from there. But I'm telling you, you'll realize quickly they are experts in their field, they know their products, and they're going to give you almost like a prescription for the best fit for your house. They'll know when your house is built and the architecture that was used to recommend this certain brand of window and this style of window or this siding and the options that they have there. And they're all there to help you at no charge to you just by getting that free. All you got to do is go to the website, see the products, allstatesidingandwindows.com, and then when you're ready, have them come out to the house and give you their recommendations. And you do that by calling them at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. That puts you in direct contact with the experts themselves. They come to you and tell you exactly what they can do. How do I know all this? Because I did it. The minute that we bought our new house a little over a year and a half ago, it was built in the 90s. We moved in. We got in touch with Allstate. They put new windows on our house, and they are fantastic. They immediately upgraded the overall look and curb appeal of the house. But the most important thing is they reduced our energy bill by about 32%, which is fantastic. And they're the best in the business at protecting the content, starting with your family and everything that you have in it, because of the fact that they are weather resistant to hurricane season. They keep the cool air in the summer and the hot air in the winter. They are fantastic. And the siding does the same. And the siding gives you so much extra protection with the durability and the strength, especially when we're talking about all the different wild weather in Houston. All I can encourage you to do is check out the website, allstatesidingandwindows.com, and call them when you're ready for that free estimate, 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936. 30% right now off of all window jobs, $2,500 off a complete siding job. The free estimates are always available, and they're always offering discounts for senior citizens, military, and first responders. And if you mention me and or ESPN 97.5, you'll get a little extra bonus on top of that. They are great people doing fantastic work in the Houston area. Check them out today, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day. 713-780-ESPN. What are yours? Real quick, Blaine says you don't need to read this on air, but Mapes is very sharp and knows all the sports for someone so young. He's a bright career in sports talk. My favorite producer. My favorite producer, too.
Just knew that was coming. I knew that was the crux behind the reading. No question about it.
Thanks to River Ranch Dayton for having us out. If you're in the market, make sure you you do your due diligence, riverranch.com. All right, Blankers, car wreck of the day, what you got?
John Morant, sir. John Morant just doesn't get it, and I don't understand why, because he's got all the talent in the world, but my goodness, what, less than a week after being warned about doing the shooting gun gestures against the Warriors, first quarter, last night, Heat game, he decides, yeah, I'll still do it. I'll do it again. And then he gets $75,000 as a fine. He's lucky he didn't get suspended. They're talking now about the Grizzlies trying to make a hard decision about moving on from him because they've had enough. He is hurting himself. He's cost himself maybe $40, $50 million in endorsements with some of his off-the-court stuff previously. There's too much ability there, and at a certain point you hope the light goes on, but he's got to stop doing this kind of stuff.
I feel like he's being targeted for this, though. Like, I feel like this goes on a lot from NBA players, and John Morant's the only one getting fined $75,000. I know he has a past, but why can other players in the NBA and stars in the NBA do it and John Morant gets fined? Like, okay, you want to fine John Morant? That's fine. Like, that's cool. I get it. I understand why you would want to fine a guy for doing that and trying to get that out of the game, but do it for everybody. Do it for every single person that does that. That has not been happening.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree because I think reputation is something that you cannot escape because of the fact that he's done these things with guns, him and his friends, multiple occasions, multiple offenses, and that's where it's like Draymond getting a quicker whistle or getting technicals quicker.
I mean, you can own a gun.
Right, but okay, there's just, we don't have enough time to get into this.
We don't.
But, you know, with all the things that he's done and his crew has done, that's just, and you're warned, don't do it again, and they went easy on him because they didn't find him the first time, so he does it again right away to get it the second time. It's just not smart.
I'll nominate Freddie Freeman, injured himself in the shower, landed on the IL. Be an athlete, dude. AV nominates BMAC for laughing at a guy who almost died, and then a texter nominates you, Blankers, for doubling down on hating kids. You didn't like that five-year-old getting chocolate. All right, what
I
wins
hate
here?
Kids, but I got two of them.
Yeah, you hate other people's kids.
No, that's not true either.
I go Freddie Freeman.
I'm going John Morant.
All right, it's a tie. They both win. All right, it's going to do it for us.
That's right. You don't let Brian break the tie today. Let Mapes break the tie.
No, Brian doesn't get to talk. It's a tie. Ties are fine. Brian likes ties. Thanks to Sean for pulling double duty. He's Blank on Branham. No mention of BMAC today. He lost that privilege too. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. So long. Goodbye.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.